Michael Watson interviewing Rocky J on November 8th, 2008 at 4 o'clock. Mr. J, what was your age and hometown at your time of entry into service?
I was 19 years old, and I entered Marine Corps in Abilene, Texas in 1968.
Did you enlist in the Marine Corps because you thought you might get drafted?
No, I was getting kicked out of college, so I just went down and so I went down and enlisted in the Marine Corps because I figured that maybe I need some discipline.
There you go.
Yeah.
What was your place of boot camp and basic training?
I went to MCRD in San Diego, and then did ITR and BITS at Camp Pendleton in California.
Describe your basic and advanced training. What was it like at boot camp and your training school?
Boot camp, just regular Marine Corps boot camp. I went in 68. Marine Corps taking so many casualties, they dropped boot camp from 10 weeks to 8 weeks, and they dropped ITR for 2 weeks, and they dropped BITS for 1 week, and they cut all home leaves from 30 days to 20 days because they're trying to get everybody numb as fast as they could. And then, which is trained to be a grunt, had a chance to go to sniper school because I shot so well, and I got picked going to CAG program instead.
What was the daily routine during boot camp training?
Oh, get up and run, eat breakfast, run till you threw that up, do PT, discipline, have lunch, run till you threw that up, do PT, and just lots of fun.
What kind of weapons training did you receive?
M16, we carried M14s then, and boot camp was all M14s, and ITR and BITS, we were cross-trained on M16s, M60, and grenade launchers and LAWs, and that's, you know, the grenades and small arms type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any particular incidents that occurred in boot camp?
Oh, I guess you remember them all. None of them are good, but none of them are near as bad as what they, you know, what they sent you to at NOM. It's just
true.
You always get together a group of Marines now. It's like we have this tet deal in Abilene, and get together the Marine Corps guys, and their Army guys are talking about Vietnam and the war, and Marine Corps guys are all talking about boot camp, you know, the things they did in boot camp more than what they did in NOM.
List your units of assignments and your positions in your units when you first got to Vietnam.
I first got to Vietnam, I went straight into the CAG program, and they sent me to 4th CAG, which is most northern CAG, is up at Quang Tri, and our CAG was 4th CAG, 4th CACO, and I was in a village up on the Quaviet Rivers, Lacewind, Bobang, Amtrak, and Camp 435 and 436.
Where were your major battles and engagements while you were in Vietnam?
They're all up on the in the river areas, Quang Tri area, and like I said, north of Dong Hai, and in around Lacewind and Bobang village areas up in that area.
Did your weapons change? Did your weapons and equipment change from your different engagements? Did you, like, were you issued any different weapons?
We kind of had a choice what we wanted. I always carried a blooper, 79 grenade launcher. I always carried that, but I'd also carry either 16 or an M14. And every once in a while, I'd carry a 12-gauge shotgun pump, but I'd always carry the grenade launcher. And but we kind of use what we wanted to use, as long as they were American-made weapons.
Right.
They had a distinct sound compared to what the North Vietnamese and VC were using.
Right. What was your where was your first encounter in enemy combat?
I'm surprised. The second day I was in Vietnam, we stepped in Sierra. We stepped into it, and I was I was the only boot in the unit, and we were just out in the night-day operation. We run a little late, and we came back around some rice paddies and head back up towards the hooch where we're going to have a harbor site, and running three very interesting guys from North Vietnam. I didn't even know them, and they seemed not to like me for some reason. So, and it was, like I said, my second day and second night. It was second night in Vietnam, so it was quite an eye-awakener for me. It was a growing-up experience, say the least.
Right. Could you tell any difference from what you were trained at boot camp, as in how the North Vietnamese fought when you first got there?
Not really. We just, in ITR and bits, we were always practicing infantry sweeps and infantry operation. I went into the CAG, but we just worked for two or three people, and are the Vietnamese and our NIAC ones, and we didn't have fire teams or such as that. We just had, you know, like two or three Marines and maybe four or five Vietnamese, and it's completely different what I was trained for in the States. Right. I trained for it later on in Vietnam, but the first 2 weeks in the villages, it was completely new to me, but you learned in a hurry.
Right. Were there any specific strengths or weaknesses that you found that the enemy soldiers possessed?
Up where we were, they would come across the D, and they were a pretty fit bunch of guys. The North Vietnamese at far north, when they came down, we'd run into them sometime. They had clean uniforms on, and their AKs were just as good or better than their 16s. Their RPGs, the RPG is better than, great respect for RPGs. In that area, they had artillery support. They weren't using it at that particular time. They had long-range guns across the D that could shell us, but the only thing they didn't have that we had was air support, but they outnumbered us all the time. They were well-trained, well-disciplined people.
Which enemy weapon that you encountered did you consider to be the most lethal?
Yeah, they kind of get your attention, but like I said, RPGs, they just seemed to
come out of nowhere.
Every one of them seemed to have one. They were good with them. RPG had a good night sight on it, and our equipment, our laws, we didn't have a night sight on it, but they seemed like they had plenty of RPGs, so they did get your attention.
Right. What was, describe the bravest action that you witnessed while serving in Southeast Asia?
Oh, gosh. Any of them are brave, I guess. I don't know. We've kept Corman alive long enough. Corman's always jumping up doing something, but
right.
We just never could keep one around very long. And I just really can't really name one particular action.
Right. Did your unit ever change y'all's tactics as y'all moved through your operations?
It's usually always the same. We'd have to move every 12 hours, and we were in a mobile CAG, and we were the hunting teams in the CAG. We'd go out and hunt them every night. We'd have to move our position every 12 hours to keep them from locating us. And after we move our position, we'd run our ambushes and our teams out of the harbor sites we'd move to. But we'd move every 12 hours.
Right. Were there any weapons that you believe if your unit had, you would have been more effective during your operations?
I think we got rid of the 16s, but the 14s is a much better weapon. But you just couldn't hump the ammo for them.
Right.
You could the 16s.
Right. Did you bring any of your own personal weapons with you, like sidearms or?
No. We didn't carry pistols.
No pistols?
No pistols. Guys had knives, but pistols were pretty useless as extra weight you had to carry.
Right. You know. Did you spend much time in a helicopter or an air mobile or anything like that?
The whole time I rode in choppers after I got wounded, and I don't remember much of it.
Right.
The whole time in Vietnam, I walked.
Right. You were never a POW, were you?
No.
No. Okay. What was I going to say? How were you wounded? For the record, how were you wounded?
Grenades got me, and I was nicked two other times. I got shrapnel from RPG and some other shrapnel, but not. I really got blown away. I caught some grenade blast.
What area in Vietnam were you? Were you still up north when you got?
Yeah, I was up on the Quavia Rivers.
Okay.
That area.
Do you know, did you ever have any recollection of how long it took for the medevac support to come in when you got wounded?
I say they got me out in about 20, 25 minutes. The Army came in and got us out. There was only five, there were five of us that night, and they got seven of us, and they got five out of the seven of us that North Vietnamese did.
Wow. Were you treated for your wounds in Vietnam, or did they send you back home before you got your...
No, I was operated on twice at 3rd Med in Quang Tri, and I was there for 2 weeks where they could move me. Then they had a doctor fly with me to Da Nang. Then they had a surgeon fly with me from Da Nang to Japan, where they had me stabilized for a month before they brought me back to the States.
Right. What is your evaluation of the strategy that the Americans employed during the war?
Oh, I don't know. It is, you know, it's long ago. It's, don't really have any opinion about it anymore.
Right.
You know, I fought that, and I'm of peace with it now, so I don't have any idea about it. I just kid.
Right. What was your evaluation of your particular leadership of the high-ranking officers in your division? Or
We never had officers. In a CAG unit, corporal, we used the CAG leader, which
right.
was an E4. And our CAG leader was a corporal. Usually your assistant CAG leaders are Lance Corporals and the rest of them, PFCs and privates. I told you earlier, I was 19.
Right.
And I was the second oldest Marine in my unit. There was nine of us. And our squad leader, or CAG leader, he was 20 or 21, and he'd been there for 18 months. But it's usually run by Marine Corps NCOs. Never had an officer in the bush, never even had a sergeant in the bush.
Right. What do you remember most about your combat experiences?
I didn't get pretty hectic.
Right.
Awful noise. No, it's quite an experience. It's, you know, it's, you get into it, and it's, like I said, it's... seems like it lasts forever. It might not last very long. We were type units we were in. We were all trained to call it artillery and airstrikes. We were always number two behind recon in front of the grunt units as far as using it. The problem is that when there's only three or four of us, maybe four or five of them, it's very fast type of stuff. It's real close. It's always at nighttime. And it's when it's over with, it's pretty nerve-wracking.
Right, right. When you arrived in Southeast Asia, what did you think of the South Vietnamese people, like the people you lived with? And
well, when I first got there, because I went straight to the CAG. Now,
right.
You know, you're thrown, it's a third world environment you're thrown out there. You're living with them, you're eating with them. They're hooches, and, you know, you're drinking their water. And we got to dress any way we wanted to. We could dress like them or dress...
however
we wanted to. It was, I think that's why most of us went into CAG. Most of us from Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma. Most of us are very young. Most of us were, had a rural background or hunting background. And
right.
We handle it better than what city guys can handle it.
Right.
Because, you know, it's pretty primitive living conditions.
Right. Did you learn to speak any of the... languages that were...
Yeah, we learned, I learned enough to get by up in the area. There's many different dialects, but...
did you learn any one in particular more than another?
The dialect right around my area, up in that northern area, is one I learned. I picked it. I went to language school for 2 weeks, but I did... I learned in language school. It had nothing to do with the dialect I picked up there with my Nippons or Poplar Forces I lived with. It was completely different.
Describe your daily routine while you were over there in... with your groups and besides your, like, the actual operations?
Well, we'd keep ambushes, run ambushes all night long, and come in the morning and might have something to eat, and we'd clean our weapons, then we'd move to another position and file our reports and try to get some sleep and plan our ambushes the next night and gather intel and, you know, visit with our people or visit with the kids. The kids were real good about information and try to figure out where we can be running our ambushes the next night and send out our teams and call in our pre-artillery strikes in case we need them. Like, so we never used them, never had time. And just day after day and just going out night after night. You know,
right.
A bunch of young men going out hunting other young men every night.
Mm-hmm. What was the food like where you lived?
Oh, the Vietnamese food was good. We would supplement with our sea rats. And we needed to get supplied every 3 days to once a week. And whoever we'd stay with during the night or move into daytime, they would we would, you know, share it with them and they'd fix their meals and we would combine it with the cigarettes and that's what we'd usually eat.
Right.
Had some different food over there. Had some peppers and you had to learn to kind of hold your nose when you was eating Vietnamese food.
Right. What did you do for recreation when you were out on your patrols and operations?
I didn't have much recreation. When we went into CAG, we were the first group to go into CAG that was straight from the state, so we had a 13-month tour. And unless you got wounded or had a chance going to R&R, you just stayed out in the villages and just
really
did the same thing, you know, day after day, night after night. And I guess the best recreation to have is getting more than 2 hours sleep a day.
Wow. Did you ever correspond with anyone back in the States through mail?
Oh, yeah, I'd write home, you know. I'd get care packages at home, that type of stuff. Get mail a couple times a week.
Did you ever encounter any, like, dangerous wildlife, like snakes? And
I had some snakes. I did see a Bengal tiger. And one night I had a snake that was about 100 foot long crawl across. It seemed like it was 100 foot long. I was in a position where I couldn't move. My heart was beating pretty fast. And had some gentlemen over there who weren't particularly friendly, and I had a snake crawl across my legs. And it took him about 2 days to crawl across me, it seemed like.
Did you receive any awards besides, obviously, a Purple Heart in Vietnam?
Oh, I see. I got a combat action ribbon for being in combat. Presidential Unit Citation, Navy Unit Citations, Award Bronze Star of B, there's some other stuff, I can't remember what all it was.
Okay. What do you think and feel about your experiences in Vietnam upon the time you left, when you got to come home?
Oh, I don't know, I was just happy to come home. Never did dwell on it that much. Back when we came home, nobody cared about it. Bunch of, you know, we never talked about it too much. It was right. 70 and nobody, people weren't interested. War was kind of
going down, kind of,
yeah, calming down, and people weren't, you know, people try to talk about it, nobody wanted to listen, so we just never said anything.
Right. How were you received upon your return to the United States?
Oh, fine. I laid in bed for 5 months. I had plenty of time kind of defuse myself. I was wounded first October, and I didn't get out of the bed. See, October 69, and I didn't get out of bed to the end of February of 70, and so that gave me a lot of time to kind of defuse, and I was in therapy for another year.
Right.
But no, I never had any problems. I never had anybody treat me bad.
Okay, that's good. What do you feel about the usefulness of your group, like what y'all did for the general cause?
They said the CAG program probably worked better than any program the Vietnamese had. They said, I know in the history of the CAG groups, we started pulling them out in 70 or 71, and the Ardens, the generals in the Da Nang area, says, pull everybody out you want to, but just please leave the CAG Marine, because we were the most effective thing they had, because the CAG Marines, there never were more than 500 or 600 of us in the field at a time, but some months, we would account for 51% of the KIAs in Northern I Corps. That included the first and third Marine Divisions and the 101st Airborne. And we were having more confirmed kills than all those guys. But it seemed to work. They're using the program now, but it was a program the Marine Corps started back in 1900, when they were South American. So it wasn't something new the Marine Corps was doing. They'd done this program before. They're right. Still doing it.
Kind of off topic, did you ever get to use any, like, of the new technology, because you're at it, not like night vision or anything?
Sure, we had some back in, but they were so big, and they'd come in a big old aluminum case, and it made all kinds of noise.
Right.
Starlight scopes, and they were probably first phase generation, and it was completely dark, didn't work at all, and after you do that a number of times, you depend so much on your breathing, your hearing, and your senses that something like that,
it doesn't help you as much.
It's, right. You learn to do it nighttime all the time. It's hard to explain, but you learn to breathe through your ears and your eyes and your nose,
right.
and you taste through all your everything. You know,
your senses
always
become more keen.
Your senses are so keen with it.
Right. Did you bring back any souvenirs? Pictures,
I'd sent some stuff home before I got wounded, but after I was wounded, everything was gone.
You didn't bring back any knives or anything?
I bought a compass back. I'd taken off the NVA, I'd mailed it home. Then I bought a cigarette lighter back that I'd taken off a North Vietnamese officer that was, I found out, I researched it. It was a cigarette lighter that was presented to the Vietnamese forces that had taken Diem Bien Phu from the French in 54. And this guy was part of that unit that overran in Ho Chi Minh. He presented these guys cigarette lighters. And this poor guy had probably been in the war all his life. And this kid in West Texas come along, shot him, and took a cigarette lighter. And I said, how light just but that,
Right.
I had a friend here in town tried to name Bill Levy. He wanted me to send it back to their family. But I have it in there and just kept it with that compass. Have around that it was in a chamber that it should have got me that didn't, and that's all about that. I had a few pictures, not many.
Right. Have you been back to Vietnam or Southeast Asia since you got back from the war?
Mm-hmm.
Never went back. Would you like to go back someday?
No.
Go
to somebody's house and shoot you. We won't go back for it. It's a beautiful country. That's really pretty country up there, but I've got no desire to go back.
Right. What all did you learn while serving in Vietnam with your, like, tribal group?
Vietnamese. There's good Vietnamese, good popular forces, and bad popular forces, and Manikins. Some are good, some are bad. I had two Kit Carson scouts, which were former North Vietnamese, came over and I saw, and they were good. And, of course, all those guys were all eliminated in South Vietnam fell. They were, reprisals. And my understanding is all the Kit Carson scouts, when the war was over, they were all executed. And quite a few of the POs were executed after the war was over, too, for, reprisals.
Right. Nowadays, do you still suffer from any of the injuries that incurred back in Vietnam?
No, I'm lucky. I've still got my legs and arms. I've got aches and pain, but who doesn't?
Right. Do you believe that the government took care of its troops in Vietnam with supplies on time?
Oh, yeah. I've got no complaints there. We pretty well got what we needed, if we needed, especially ammo or whatever, and I've got no complaints.
Okay. This is off topic, but did you ever go in any specific operation that was rather secretive at the moment that's now not, that just kind of
round? No, I've not done any of. I just you always hear people talking about stories. Sometimes I wonder if they just kind of watching too many movies.
Right. That's what I
can remember when I first came home, there wasn't any Vietnam veterans. About 20 years ago, all of a sudden everybody's a Vietnam veteran. But I read in history, we weren't the only group of people to do that. I read one time where the 20th year anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, that there was 30,000-40,000 more veterans showed up and fought in the battle. When they came home, there wasn't any Vietnam veterans, and now everybody's a Vietnam veteran.
Was it difficult for you to adjust to life in the United States upon your return?
Oh, yeah, you know,
not
I was
being shot at every day.
Yeah, you know, I was not serious minded. I had a hard time sticking with things. I drank too much, drove too fast, had fast cars, and lived a good life, and overindulged, and alcohol, and everything else. I was 20 years old, you know. Heck, I was out of the Marine Corps and had a disability rate, and I was getting a check from the government every month. I was going to school, and was getting paid for, getting another check, and had a new Corvette, and had a drinking problem.
How has the war most affected your life?
Oh, well, I don't allow myself to get close to anybody. So, you know, my wife chews my ass out about that all the time. I just be around people, and she can see it. I just don't allow myself to become friends with anybody or stay friends with people.
Right.
And she dislikes that quite a bit. But I just have it. I can't break.
Right. What was your marital status when you left for Vietnam?
I wasn't married.
Righty. If you had your Vietnam experience over again, what would you change, probably besides being wounded?
Oh, well, yes. I don't know. That's CAG program, I met some good people. I was dumb. I thought we all did the same thing. I thought you just got to Vietnam, you went out in the bush, and you got shot at the next day, and you did like everybody. You know, I thought everybody kind of did that, but I didn't realize
some people
never got to go to the rear, and our rear was Quang Tri, which is a fire base. And
right.
I didn't know about all this other stuff, but hamburger joints and shows and ocean and
all the good stuff,
air conditioned barracks and showers. I never was part of that. I didn't know any of it. So
right.
How is it good? Because I didn't miss it. I got back and got some out of it. I'd have gone back.
How long were you in the war before you got wounded? Like,
I got nicked in June of 69. I got there May 1st, 69. I got nicked. And I got there, weighed 189 pounds. I was in really good shape. And I'd been running the mountains out of Pendleton. And I went out to the Villes May the 1st for 2 weeks. And I came back and went to Danning to CAG school for 2 weeks. Went back to the Villes. And I got nicked. And I went to the rear. And they were treating for stuff. And they put me on the scales because I was weighing. And I went from... I weighed 139 pounds.
Wow.
And then they patched me up and sent me back out. And the other time I got hit, then that last time I got really blown away. So a
few months? Yeah. Total a few months?
Over. I was 5 months and 5 days before I really got blown away.
There you go. Is there anything else about the war you'd like to comment about?
No, it's just war, you know. Just
right. Well, alrighty. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Chair. Appreciate your interest.
Oh, definitely.